is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 9th of April. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm better now.
Yeah.
You know, Friday we weren't on the air. I had to go to the dentist. I broke a tooth. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to the dentist on Friday, and I had a face full of Novocaine. And I was just kind of out of it. And I didn't know how long that Novocaine was going to last. Honestly, it lasted longer than I thought it would. But
on some people, it does.
Yeah, it finally wore off at about 3:30 in the afternoon, my time. But I was just kind of out of it. So we skipped the show on Friday.
Yeah, we didn't expect to because he went for his checkup on Thursday, and then they wanted him back right away. So we didn't have a chance to go on, you know, to go on and post that we won't be on. But we figured, you know, people figured out that something happened.
And that's what it was.
Yes. The tooth fairy came to you.
Yes. Yes, that was, you know, not my favorite thing. I really hate going to the dentist. Hate it.
So do I.
You know, but I found out while I was there, I got to go back and get some other stuff done too. So.
Aren't you special?
there may be another Friday or two coming up that we take a brief hiatus. Easy for
things
me to
happen
say.
Like that.
You know.
Things happen. There's nothing you can do about it. But anyway, let's move on from teeth, which we both can't stand.
Well, they say three things go with age, right? Memory, what? Teeth, and I can't remember what the third one is.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about some stuff. Yes. Diane, you're going to be covering decency, respect, and common sense lost tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Truck Joe Biden.
I'm surprised Facebook didn't throw you and your truck off.
Believe me, I was a little surprised too. But speaking of Joe Biden, let's start with his new student loan sham. And that's what I call it. It's a sham.
What it is, it's a plea for votes because he's losing the young voters. And this is a way that he thinks he's going to get them back. But hopefully the Supreme Court will step in again.
Well, they stepped in the first time, and he ignored it.
Yeah. He just went around it. He tried to circumnavigate the way they ruled, and he tried to play with their ruling and which parts, you know, the justices said no to. And I've read this plan, and it's really not that different from his first one. It's a little more expanded. But the only thing I noticed is, you know, this still covers state universities and colleges. And I don't see anything for any of us parents who sent our kids to universities that people can buy a house, the amount of money it cost. there's no relief for any of us.
Well, you know, it's your own darn fault for having smart kids.
Well, it's also that many of us parents, when we knew we had smart kids for those kind of schools, we put things aside to be able to send our kids to the top schools in the country.
Oh, you did the unthinkable.
There's no relief for us. And that's horribly unfair.
Well, I'll tell you what else is unfair. See, first of all, you did the unthinkable. You planned ahead.
Right.
Okay, you were responsible. That goes against the entire liberal agenda. Okay.
True.
But I'll tell you what else is grossly unfair is that people who paid off their student loans, people who never took out student loans, people some of which never went to college are now paying for other people's student loan debt.
Right. And that's not fair at all. And it makes me even more mad when I see what's going on in some of these colleges and universities of the liberal kind.
Ugh.
And they're getting massive aid into those schools. And we're, who can't stand them, who are against everything they're teaching, or I should say indoctrinating, we're still on the hook to pay for those kids.
Yeah, other people's kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, this is 100% socialism. That's why
Absolutely. The
U.S. Supreme Court found against it the first time. They said it's unconstitutional to make other people pay the student loan debt that don't have student loan debt themselves. You know,
exactly.
You're a student. You go to school. You take out a loan. Okay. You sign the bottom line. Now, when you sign the bottom line, that indicates that you read all the papers that are pertinent to the loan, and you agreed to pay your loan back.
Right. It's a promissory note that you're now welching on.
Now, there are people, according to this new plan of Joe Biden's, there are people that are making six-figure incomes.
Right.
For you liberals, that's $100,000 or more.
Right. Common Core was, yeah.
And if they have student loan debt, they're going to get it paid off by other people.
Right.
Now, to me, if you're making over $100,000 a year, you should be able to pay off your own damn student loans.
Right. It's not going to be in 1 year or 2 years. It's going to take you a number of years. But you knew that going in, and your parents knew that going in. Because remember, a lot of these kids are not old enough to sign these agreements when they start school. So the parents have basically signed the promissory note.
Right.
And this is just unfair all the way around. Because what this is Biden's doing all of this through executive action.
Yeah, which is wrong.
Which is, totally wrong. He, you know, the administration claims that they've approved $146 million in student debt relief for over 4 million Americans via his executive actions. Well, why hasn't the Supreme Court opened their mouths already?
Well, somebody has to bring the case to them. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, and I'm sure that's going to happen. I'd be shocked if it didn't. You know,
right.
I remember, you know, this goes back to the, I guess, mid-1980s. I had a friend that was in medical school. And, you know, you go school for a long time to become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And not the kind of doctor that Dr. Jill is. I mean, he was, you know, medical school.
Oh, God, please.
And, you know, there was people that didn't really understand, you know, what it took. And they, you know, they said, well, gee, man, you're going to be rich. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be rich. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. By the time he gets done paying off student loans for X number of years and then has to pay for you know, the kind of insurance that doctors have to carry.
Oh, and yeah, all that. That's,
you
that's
know,
something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think doctors get out of medical school and they're automatically rich. That doesn't happen.
No. It takes years for that kind of stuff to happen. Yeah. And it's just so unfair all the way around. There should be no paying off of someone else's student loan.
No, I mean,
they made a promise, they pledged, they signed the note, or their parents did, and now all of a sudden, well, we don't want to pay off what we owe? It doesn't work that way.
If your neighbor goes out and buys a brand new car, and let's say spends $50,000, okay, and they take out a loan for it, is everybody else in the neighborhood supposed to buy that car for him?
Yeah. I guess that's what they think.
I mean, this is just insanity.
It is, and it needs to go away.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not this goes to court and what the outcome of that might be.
Exactly.
All right, next up in the quick hitters, we have Trump and his hush money trial. President Trump's attorneys tried to get the trial backed off because they've got appeals that are pending on it. The judge said, no, we're going to start selecting a jury. And as I understand it, Diane, the trial is supposed to begin on the 15th of this month.
Yeah. I think it's Monday they start picking the jury for it. There is an appeals court panel that's still considering Trump's petition, you know, to drop this, but it will not delay the start of the trial.
Well, and one of the other things they're trying to get dropped is the gag order. Trump can't talk about the possible witnesses. He can't talk about the attorneys. And now he can't even talk about the judge. Meanwhile, the witnesses are free to talk about him all they want.
Right. It's a double standard here.
It's a violation of the First Amendment.
Right. And for people that don't remember, what this is all about is that President Trump has been charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records over the reimbursement of hush money payments that he made before the 2016 election. This is a bunch of crap, to put it bluntly. I don't care if you like Trump or don't like Trump. You got to understand that all this stuff is indeed an orchestrated witch hunt.
As I understand it, there was nothing in any of the documents regarding the hush money payout that isn't in any kind of payout of that sort. This was no different from anybody else. And any, you know, there are all sorts of people that pay off, you know, hush money. They call it hush money.
Right.
But you settle out of court, and, you know, the way it's written up is that the person that you're paying can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, that's why they call it hush money, right? Well, those sorts of things happen all the time. And this was no different from any of these others, you know, that other people do. But yet Trump's being persecuted, not prosecuted, persecuted for it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just more of the Democrat nonsense. And they're doing it twofold. You know, it's still vendetta, folks, for 2016. You know, I'm sure Hillary's hand is somewhere, somehow, right in the mix here. And you know what's funny? Now that I mentioned Hillary's name, all the stuff that they're accusing Trump of, incitement, not, you know, accepting election results and everything, I seem to remember back to 2016, and she never conceded.
No. No. And, I mean, you want a more direct comparison? What about Stacey Abrams? Stacey Abrams lost her election in Georgia and claimed for years that she was the rightful governor of Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, our whole election system needs a rehaul. But you know who's really to blame for all of this nonsense?
Oh, I know where it started. Yeah.
No, it's the Republicans for not doing a damn thing about it. My own party has sat on their hands and done nothing to stop election interference, ballot tampering, the machines. They've done nothing.
Well, and hopefully new leadership at the GOP is going to take some action on some of that kind of stuff to kind of force it through. But the big problem is not really the GOP. The problem is Congress. The Republicans in the House and the Senate have done nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of an amalgam of all of them. I don't think the GOP, the new heads of the GOP, I don't think they're going to do much of anything either. It's just we need an overhaul.
Big time.
Not only of the whole system that we use for election, but I think the GOP needs an overhaul of its party.
I mean, I've said this for decades. I can remember sitting on the front porch at my parents' house and telling my dad this, and this would go back to the 80s and 90s, probably the early 90s. And I said, you know, it's no longer the Republicans against the Democrats or the Democrats against the Republicans. The Democrats have morphed. And at that time, you know, I said, it's now liberals versus Republicans. Well, you know, move the clock forward to today. It's now liberal Marxists, socialists and Marxists against the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, the Republican Party as a party is mired in what it was back when Reagan was in office, and they have never taken a step. Every time the liberals move further to the left, so do the Republicans.
Yeah, instead of moving the other way, they move to the left. But I still, as much as I think the Republicans need to shoulder part of the blame, the main problems here with everything we're facing today started with Barack Obama.
A fundamental transformation of America.
Change.
Yep.
What?
The fundamental transformation of America.
Yeah. This is it, folks. He succeeded. Where all the presidents after him, meaning Trump and Biden, have failed because he is still running the White House. My opinion, I stand by it. And I'm sure millions of others have the same opinion.
You get no argument from me. I mean, he's getting close to the end of his third term.
Right. He's getting ready for his fourth.
Yeah, let's keep him from having a fourth term.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the important thing.
Let's stress one more thing until we move on to our favorite topic. Down ticket votes. You got to do down ticket. If we lose the House and we lose the Senate, even if Trump is able to pull off the election, he becomes basically an impotent president. Nothing will get done. It's got to be straight down ticket from top to bottom.
All the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our final quick hitter, and Diane and I have been licking our lips on this one. In case you were living under a rock someplace, folks, we had a solar eclipse yesterday. Parts of the country, not the whole country, but parts of the country got a total eclipse. Other parts got partial eclipses.
Right.
And we've got a couple of things that we need to get off our chest about this. Diane, I'm going to let you start with all the nonsense we saw on social media leading up to this.
Okay. And then when you're done, I'm going to ask you a question. Let's see how space savvy you are.
Okay.
Okay. the stuff we see on social media is a bunch of absolute nonsense. Number one, one of the liberal commentators said this is all about gas and it's and climate change. Climate change, that was one of them. Climate change right. caused this, and just utter nonsense. Then you also have what we call the holier than thous. This is not the revelation, folks. Jesus is not rising because of the solar eclipse. This is a naturally occurring phenomenon that has happened since the earth formed and the moon was in place. And it happens actually on a particular cycle of every X number of years. Just exactly which part of the globe it goes over, that's determined by axis and a whole bunch of other things. But this is a naturally occurring scientific truth that happens. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing mystical about it. There's nothing religious about it. It is what it is. Science.
Ah. I can't tell you how disappointed I was yesterday afternoon when I realized that none of the holier than thous on Facebook had been raptured. You know, but speaking of science.
Yeah.
Oh, this is priceless, folks. Sheila Jackson Lee, the Congress thing out of Texas. Had a little program yesterday at Washington High School in Houston, okay? And she told the students there some things about the eclipse that were pretty interesting. And I'll just quote her because I pulled this up because I didn't want to misquote the idiot, okay?
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah, really. Quote, you have the energy of the moon at night. She said, the moon has no energy, Sheila. It's just there. It reflects light. It doesn't right. produce light. Then right. she said, quote, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity to just come out and see the full moon. A complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Really?
The moon has no gas.
Exactly.
The moon is a solid entity. It's not made up of gases. It's rocky.
Right. And dusty. Very dusty.
Very dusty, very rocky. You know, I have never seen a gas giant or a gas planet covered in craters. Have you?
No.
Okay, so no. It's not gassy. But she went on, quote, that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such that we can do that, unquote. No, it's not. The moon
There's
has no atmosphere.
There.
I mean, it's a dead rock.
Exactly.
There is no gas on the moon. The moon is not made of gas. The moon does not have any power source of its own. It's just kind of there.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, she's telling this to high school students, and they're all indoctrinated. So they're not going to know any difference, and they're going to go around now thinking the moon is made of gas.
Well, they're wrong. It's made of green cheese. How can you forget that?
Everybody knows that.
Right.
I mean, this is a congresswoman. Okay, this is as stupid as when Hank Johnson said if everybody got on one side of Guam, it would tip over.
Oh, yeah, remember that? Oh, my God, these people are so dumb.
And liberals are electing these people. What does that tell you about liberals?
what we've known all along. They don't have even one working brain cell.
So the rapture, whatever you want to call it, the solar eclipse took place yesterday. You know, people that were lucky enough to see it where it wasn't cloudy had a brilliant show. I saw a total eclipse a few years ago, 2017. It's one of the most remarkable natural phenomenons you can see.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's a fantastic sight. I watched it on the TV yesterday, but I also had my son. He was sending me the pictures back and forth because he and his wife were there. And it really is amazing. But I have a question for you about the eclipse. And I think you might actually know this.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I'm not going to be cocky about it. I have no idea what you're going to ask, so I have no idea whether I know the answer.
What were the red dots that people were seeing?
Oh, on the like around the edges?
Mm-hmm.
Those are from valleys on the moon where the light sneaks through.
I'm talking about the eclipse.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the valleys. Okay.
When the moon goes in front of the sun, there are some deep valleys that we don't really notice on a regular basis, but with the sun behind them, we get some, you know, little peek throughs.
Yeah, they're peek throughs, and you're partially right. I knew you would know, something about it. What they're actually known as is prominences. They're filaments, and what happens is those red glowing loops, they're visible during solar prominences, and they consist of plasma, which is composed of electricity, charged hydrogen, and helium. This is all according to NASA, and they flow in and out, and when the solar eclipse happens, some of those might basically bleed through, if you will.
Yeah, I didn't know you were talking about the sun itself, but yeah.
Yeah, the eclipse,
Well, the eclipse is the shadow of the moon going over the sun, but
the sun
has arcs of plasma and hot gases. See, the sun is gas.
Right.
Sheila.
Right, the moon isn't. These red dots were actually visible as the moon passed over and, you know, stopped, if you will, and, you know, you saw the beautiful, the circle of the sun. There were many instances of people saying, and especially the scientists who were studying this, the red dots.
Right.
And this is what they are. They're called prominences.
Right. And in reality, those arcs of plasma or gas, those things are absolutely huge, but because the sun is 93 million miles away, you don't see them unless you have something that blocks out the light, like the moon coming across. And then you, right around the edge, what they call the corona, you can see some of those little, you know, and they look very small to us from Earth, but in reality, they're ginormous.
Well, what's interesting about them, they are, like you said, they're loops of plasma, but they're actually anchored to the sun's surface in the photosphere. Right. That's the visible part of the sun that we see. And they extend into the sun's outer atmosphere. And those were visible for some.
Yeah.
During the solar eclipse. Not everybody saw them, but people who knew about them and knew where to look, yeah, they saw them, and they are in pictures. I have one of the pictures.
Yeah, they're very cool. And, earlier today, Diane and I were talking about, you know, the eclipse. And if you look at one of the photos that I took back in 2017, you can see a couple of those right on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just, It's one of the most striking things. I can't emphasize this enough, folks. If you ever have the opportunity to chase a total eclipse and be there and be lucky enough to have the sky clear so that you can, you know, do that, it is one of the most breathtaking natural phenomena you will ever see.
Yeah, I saw it in 2017. Yeah, just beautiful.
Very cool. Just very cool. We've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we have to take a break, get a couple of station IDs in. 30 minutes from now, I'm talking about Truck Joe Biden. But when we come back, Diane has it with Decency, Respect, and Common Sense Lost. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after that.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Yes. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show, go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning. Click the podcast button. This show in its entirety will be there waiting for you.
Yes.
All right, Diane. So things are always changing and not necessarily for the better, which led you to put together an op-ed, Decency, Respect, and Common Sense Lost.
Right, and let's start by saying as the November presidential election season starts heating up, a repeat of an election most Americans really did not want, sides most decidedly have been taken. And it's not just Democrats v. Republicans per se, but it has undeniably morphed into a battle between right v. wrong and truth v. lies, as common sense, decency, and respect gets thrown by the wayside, with a not-so-healthy dose of religious bigotry and mockery also getting thrown into the mix. And it's outright bigotry, not just continuing against those of the Jewish faith, anti-Semitism as it's more commonly known, but now against Christians as well, reaching a crescendo of sorts just this past Easter Sunday, the holiest of holy days for Christians everywhere. Quote, how many more police officers and their families will have to make the ultimate sacrifice before the city protects them, end quote. That was said by Stephanie Diller, the 29-year-old widow of fallen NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. So let's begin with decency and respect, the very thing Democrats seem to care little, if anything, about, and how on this go-round it started on Monday, March 25th, at around 5:50 p.m. when 31-year-old NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, a husband and father of a 1-year-old son, was shot in the stomach and died soon thereafter while making a routine traffic stop in the Far Rockaway neighborhood in Queens. Charged with first and second degree murder and also first and second degree attempted murder for his also turning the gun, which thankfully jammed, on Sergeant Sasha Rosen, who was Officer Diller's partner, is one 34-year-old Guy Rivera, a career criminal, with career being the operative word. A career criminal with 21 prior arrests, and who with this arrest was found to have a shiv in his rectum, a not uncommon occurrence amongst repeat offenders, offenders who know they will repeat again. And a repeat offender puts it mildly, and so too was the vehicle's driver, 41-year-old Lindy Jones, who himself had 14 prior arrests, including for attempted murder, and who Craig, at this point in time, was in possession of an illegal firearm, but wisely took no part in the officer's actual shooting.
Okay, so this guy Rivera, a career criminal, as you said, can you give us a little bit more detail on his criminal record? I mean, what was this guy in for? What was he all about?
Okay, this is just a few of it, folks. Okay, the shooter, Guy Rivera, was last released from a New York prison back in 2021 after having served 5 years for criminal possession of a controlled substance and whose parole ended in 2023. Rivera also served prison time in 2011 regarding a first-degree assault charge, only to be released in 2014. And then just last April 2023, Rivera was arrested on gun charges, but this time was released back onto the street thanks to New York's liberal criminal defense system and its own special version of catch and release. An unjust system, I call it, where the criminal element, especially if they are a minority and or a person of color, seems to garner a get-out-of-jail-free card even after having committed a felony. But horrific in its own right in regards to Officer Diller's needless losing his life was the spectacle put on by New York's soft-on-crime governor and New York City mayor, trying to secure political brownie points by both putting on sham performances of pretending to care about the slain officer and his young family. We at least saw a modicum of justice being served. How so? When bleeding heart liberal New York Governor Kathy Hochul made an appearance at Officer Diller's second day viewing, she stayed but a mere 10 minutes. After having been confronted by an uncle of the murdered officer who shouted to Governor Hochul, quote, "His blood is on your hands and you're not wanted here," end quote. Truth most surely said. Known in New York as both the face of wanting criminal favoring bail reform and by law enforcement officers for her failing to even trying to reverse changes that allowed violent criminals back out onto the streets, resulting in a dramatic rise of recidivism, it was very clear to all that gathered that Kathy Hochul really had no business being there, for her ever brief appearance was clearly not one of respect, but one done for a photo op alone. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams' response, in my opinion, was no better. Adams, a former police officer, has been called a fearmonger on crime by some after claiming that only a small percentage of those released on bail, including many deemed mentally ill, go on to reoffend. And even while knowing this to be anything but truth, Adams, in my opinion, in an attempt to try and save his flailing political career, is now suddenly calling for Albany to, quote, take aim at rampant recidivism in the wake of not only Officer Diller's death, but the death on the same day in an unrelated case of a 54-year-old innocent man who was pushed into the path of an ongoing number 4 train in an unprovoked attack. And Craig and 124-year-old Carlton McPherson, a man with a long and sordid history of mental illness, is now being charged with second-degree murder, leaving me to wonder just how many times he's been through our revolving door justice system.
I mean, that's really one of the questions that has to be asked at this point, because these people are in and out faster than the paperwork can be filed. You know,
exactly.
I mean, it's kind of nuts. But when you look at this whole situation overall, especially with Officer Diller, there are some things that really stand out. And, you know, but that's not the end of the questions that need to be asked about it.
No, there's simply a bottom line, and it's in regards to the senseless murder of Officer Jonathan Diller. Common sense, decency, and respect were put by the wayside in favor of political posturing, courtesy of New York Governor Hochul and New York City Mayor Adams, both of whom, in my opinion, do indeed share part of the blame for this young officer's death. But for me and so many others, the question that still remains is how many others of our heroes must die in helping to defend we the public from harm? How many others must forfeit their lives in the name of liberal policies enacted that have willfully allowed those like this young wife to lose her beloved husband while her baby son will never get to know his hero dad? How many others indeed? So here I offer what would be at least a semblance of justice served, in that it is my unwavering opinion that all 50 of these United States must immediately enact death penalty laws in regards to anyone who shoots an officer dead while he or she was acting in the line of duty. Their loved ones left behind should not have to face such an unbearable loss, while the bastards who murdered their loved ones get to spend their rest of their lives in a cushy jail cell at we, and especially their, taxpayer expense. An eye for an eye, 21st century style, just might help to stop the slaughter of those whose duty it is to serve and protect, while at the same time at least helping to aid in what passes for closure for those now sadly left behind. And Craig, common sense, decency, and respect does demand at least just that.
At least. Absolutely at least this, just that. All right, so you have mentioned Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. You've mentioned Eric Adams, who himself is a former police officer and should damn well know better.
Exactly.
Okay, as the mayor of New York. What about Joe Biden?
Oh, please. But then again, common sense, decency, and respect lost are but three well-known hallmarks of the Biden administration, with respect now heading the list in regards to Officer Diller's murder. Why so? Because Joe Biden chose his star-studded campaign fundraiser over making even a brief showing at the officer's wake. But if truth be told, as bad as this optic was politically for Biden, it was actually a blessing of sorts for the officer's family to not have Biden make a mockery of this most solemn and honorable of occasions. And so the man who is but the front for Obama's fourth term in office chose instead to not only not attend Officer Diller's funeral, but to make a mockery of Christianity via an assault on Easter itself, the holiest of holy days for Christians everywhere, for it's the day when believers do so acknowledge that Jesus rose from the dead. And while President Trump stated online that he would be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ with joy, Joe Biden stated that March 31st, which fell this year on Easter Sunday, would be recognized as Transgender Day of Visibility, so as to send a message to all transgender Americans: you are loved, you are heard, you are understood, you belong, you are America, and my entire administration and I have your back, end quote. Really, Joe? Really? Who did you think you were kidding with this nonsense? Nonsense celebrating delusional play-acting folks who have yet to accept the fact that boys cannot become girls, nor can girls become boys, as sex is determined by one's DNA, not by what one cuts off or adds on into their bodies, nor is one's sex determined by someone's pronoun of choice. For mere words chosen do not now, nor will they ever, determine one's actual physical sex. So you can play with pro-LGBTQ policies as a means by which to help you and hence Obama garner more votes. But Joey, you most certainly cannot change the truth that transgenderism is indeed but a mental disorder. Nor should you have done what you did by throwing both Christianity and Easter itself, more specifically, by the wayside, especially when you publicly so love to call yourself a devout Catholic. Simply, Joe Biden is anything but a devout Catholic, as he well knows that wearing a cross or carrying rosary beads does not a good Catholic make. And so Joe Biden, the man who claims to attend church regularly, now relishes in picking and choosing which parts of the Catholic faith to follow, while deliberately ignoring or even manipulating that of the faith which contradicts with both his embraced far-left agenda coupled with Obama's seemingly personal agenda as well. And Craig, you have to know Biden does this for political expediency alone, in the hopes that it will help him garner more votes.
You know, isn't there a religious term that really applies to this? I mean, I'm not one that likes to throw religious terminology around willy-nilly, but there is one, I believe, that directly applies to what Biden did.
Well, I'll name it for you, because trying to deny or even just ignoring science fact is one thing, but deliberately making a mockery of a key foundation, their tenets, regarding one's supposed faith, borders not on just common sense loss, but blasphemy itself, if you ask me. And so the man that I will never afford the honor of calling him president has a lot to learn about decency, respect, and common sense in regards to both religious observances and America's secular life. It's time for Joe Biden to exit the political stage and take all his he-she nonsense and disrespect for our men and women in blue with him. Most Americans are not only tired of being forced to join in the game of pretending, but of being forced to accept the game's players as representatives of what the left wants us to believe is the new norm. What most Americans want is a return of common sense, for only with common sense will dignity and respect follow. Case closed.
You know, when you look at that whole situation, that mm-hmm. whole, you know, Transgender Day of Visibility.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. If you look at the LGBTQEIEIO, you know, the whole thing, do you realize that they already have almost half of the annual calendar in days that are dedicated to their recognition?
Yeah.
There are 166 days of the calendar year set aside for recognizing the alphabet.
Yeah. Now, this transgenderism This has nothing to do with gay people. They know what they are. These are people that are pretending. They're going through life pretending something they could never be, no matter what they cut off or add on. Sex is determined by DNA alone. We cannot change someone's DNA, at least not at this point in our medical knowledge. And until we can, if we ever can, you're born and you are the way you are. And I've been reading some studies, a lot of these transgender people go this route because they're afraid to admit they're gay.
Right.
This doesn't make sense. But one other thing, in the part about the officer, I mentioned something called a shiv. And the reason for that, first of all, it's a handmade, handcrafted bladed weapon resembling a knife, and it's associated with prison inmates who by law are not allowed to have any sort of weapon in prison. What this is basically a form of a knife that they use against fellow inmates or guards. It's a weapon, something they're not supposed to have. But it's designed in such a way that it could be put in places where you would not want to put a knife. And this guy, Rivera, was caught with it. In other words, he could have pulled that out at any time and slashed the officer as well.
Yeah, I seriously wonder about the mentality of somebody that keeps a shiv up their butt.
I know. And they bring them into prison. Yeah. And the other thing is recidivism, that's the tendency of a criminal, a convicted criminal, I should say, to reoffend.
Yeah, they call them habitual criminals.
Right.
You know?
But they have a fancy term for it.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the problem. We see it over and over and over. We read about it in the news over and over and over again. These people that have been caught, arrested for violent crimes, felonies.
Right.
And before the ink is dry on the arrest forms and on the arrest affidavit, they're back out on the street.
Yeah. This is a very serious problem. And I think you kill a police officer in the line of duty doesn't mean you'll be convicted with the death penalty, but it does mean you should at least face the death penalty.
I mean, the thing about it is, and, you know, I've had relatives that are cops.
Me too.
I've had a lot of good friends that are cops. If somebody is willing to kill a cop, they'll kill anybody.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the mentality. If they're willing to kill a cop, they will kill absolutely anybody. Those people should never be out on the street. They should never be put back into public circulation ever.
I agree. If they don't get the death penalty, they should get life imprisonment with no possibility of parole. Although that, some will say, comes with a caveat, because we taxpayers are stuck paying for them to live out their lives, while the officers killed, they don't get a life.
No, in the best possible case scenarios, it still takes 20 years to execute somebody that's on death row.
And that's wrong, too.
I agree. That's 100% wrong. I understand that if you get convicted of a crime, even a capital crime, you have the right to appeal. In my mind, at maximum, it should be 3 strikes, you're done. You know, you can appeal. You can appeal it, you know, to the district court or whatever. You can appeal it to the state Supreme Court. You can appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Three strikes, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. But this business of allowing endless appeals for the most bizarre reasons that strings these things out for 20, 25, 30 years in some case, that has to stop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know it was either, well, I think it actually was this morning, a man was executed for killing two people after 30 years in jail.
That's not justice in my book.
No, that's not justice for the family. It's not justice for the people. He gets to live a good portion of a life, but not the people that he murdered.
You know, and I'm sick and tired of these people saying, well, cops aren't perfect. No, of course they're not perfect.
Nobody is.
Okay. And we hold cops to a higher standard. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't think so, but it's true.
And
nobody holds cops to a higher standard than other cops.
Right.
All right. This guy, this officer that was gunned down, 31 years old. He had a full life in front of him. He had a one-year-old kid. You know, and when you know cops the way I know cops, they will tell you there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop.
Right.
You know, because you don't know who's in that car and you don't know what they're thinking.
No, you don't.
But here you got a young family, you got a young wife, you got a one-year-old child. You've got the parents of the cop that was gunned down. You've got brothers and siblings. You've got other family members. They get to go through their whole lives now without
mm-hmm.
Officer Diller in their lives. Well,
right.
This guy is going to go to prison and ostensibly live a long life.
Yeah.
It's not
right. There's no death penalty in New York.
It's just not right.
It's wrong. It's morally and ethically wrong.
You know, one of the things that struck me at his funeral was, as far as the eye could see, and probably 10 to 15 people deep, an absolute sea of blue.
Yes.
Cops from all over the country, and I mean thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cops lined the street. And that was the most impressive showing like that I've seen since Chris Kyle's funeral.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And his wife, she spoke very eloquently.
Yeah, she did.
But I keep thinking of the little baby never really getting to know his father. He's only a year old.
Yep, he'll have no memory.
None of him. There'll be pictures, I'm sure. The mommy's going to keep his, you know, memory alive.
Right.
But he's never going to know him. And that in itself, this bastard, really, in my opinion, 21 previous arrests, he has forfeited his life as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with you. Folks, you can find Diane's op-ed this week, Decency, Respect, and Common Sense Lost, by going to her blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or going to rspradio1.com. Either way, you can get the link, and we hope you share it everywhere you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the whole world is turning upside down, and these are just a couple of examples that she brings up, you know, Officer Diller and what happened on Easter. It's about priorities, folks.
Yeah.
You know, and the quote-unquote fundamental transformation of America.
Yep.
That's what it's about.
It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've hit the top of the hour. That means we have one segment left to go tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'm talking about Truck Joe Biden. Stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and go to town with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago I wrote a commentary about the Biden mandate on electric cars.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of a couple of weeks ago, really. That I put that together. Well, here we go again. Joe Biden and his regime came out with their new environmental standards for long haul trucks.
Yeah, can't leave well enough alone, right?
Well, that prompted me to write the commentary, Truck Joe Biden. Joe Biden's Environmental Protection Agency announced the new regulations for semi-trucks last week, and officials say they represent the strongest ever greenhouse gas emission standards of their kind. The new rules will kick in beginning in 2026 for model year 2027 vehicles and progressively become more stringent through model year 2032. That will force a larger number of trucks and buses to be zero emissions in that time frame. It's yet another deep bow to the liberal religion of climate change, as the insane idea is to make long-haul semis carbon zero by 2032 by mandate. But just like the nonsense behind mandating electric cars, there are problems, big problems. Let's start with the obvious, the cost of the damn things. We're talking between $250,000 and $500,000 per truck. And most independent truckers simply can't afford that kind of hit. The most inexpensive electric semis right now are Tesla semis at about $250,000 per. But there's a problem with the Tesla trucks. And for that matter, with all electric semis, their range. The Tesla Semi has a range of roughly 500 miles on a full charge, and that's under optimal conditions which simply don't exist anywhere. Cold or freezing weather in most of the country during the winter months and hot conditions during summer months require extra battery usage, and or they cause the range to shorten maybe by as much as half, depending on the situation. A diesel semi, depending on a few factors, can get anywhere from 900 to 2,000 miles on full tanks. Now, that means that at best, under optimal conditions, the driver of an electric semi will have to stop to recharge between twice to four times as often as a diesel driver, four to eight times more often in freezing winter or hot summer driving conditions. And Diane, that brings up yet another big problem. Where are you going to find a place to recharge?
That's a huge problem because not every gas station has this electric nonsense ready to go. And what's weird about this, this law is not giving these truckers time to even gather up the monies needed for these trucks because these things are going to start, what, within a couple of years?
Yeah, for model year 2027, the emission standards kick in 2026, and for model year 2027. Now, remember, these new standards are set to begin in less than 2 years, and we're supposed to have carbon zero long-haul trucking in less than 8 years. But right now, nearly all charging stations are found in urban settings and parking lots like at Walmart or maybe a local mall. Others are gas stations where there are but a small handful of chargers meant for cars. Now, it can take at least an hour to fully charge a low semi battery, and because a single semi at the Walmart chargers would require absolutely no cars at those chargers due to the lack of available space, where exactly does the Biden regime and the religion of climate change think all these electric semis are going to park for a recharge? There's a gentleman by the name of Louis Pugh. He's owner-operator of Independent Drivers Association. He's a board member. He says, quote, "There was a company in Juliet, Illinois that was going to put a terminal in for 30 trucks. The city said you can't do it. You're going to use more electricity than the entire city of Juliet, Illinois." Unquote. Here's the numbers. As of 2021, the latest available numbers show that there are more than 4 million semis in the United States. If 30 trucks charging will use more electricity than is used by a city in Illinois, do we have anywhere near the infrastructure in this country to handle 4.06 million semis and everybody else's electric cars? No freaking way. The next big problem is weight. Semis in the U.S. are restricted to a total of 80,000 pounds, fully loaded. And the battery for an EV semi can weigh up to 16,000 pounds. That's nearly a quarter of the allowable weight per fully loaded semi, which means every electric semi will have to decrease their load size by 25%. That means there will, by necessity, need to be 25% more semis on the road to haul the same amount of goods, and our infrastructure can't even handle the 4.06 semis as it is. Also, the amount of weight being trucked has a net negative effect on the range of the battery, which again, by necessity, will mean more recharging stops. Here's yet another big problem, Diane, that crosses over several of the other problems that I've already mentioned, and that is refrigerated trucks.
Yeah, that's a very interesting scenario, because how are they going to keep the refrigerated goods and items going when he's running out of electricity? they're powered by the same thing. So the truckers are going to run out of electricity faster because part of their charge is going to keep the refrigerated section going. And what happens if they can't get to a station in time and the electricity goes down and the goods start, you know, melting or whatever? Perishable goods can go bad.
I know. Semis hauling goods that require refrigeration would be in huge trouble under Biden's new regulations because, like you said, Diane, the same battery that powers the rig would also have to provide power for the refrigeration unit, thus cutting into the already limited range of such trucks. That problem compounds itself when the driver is sleeping because the battery would remain on powering the refrigeration to the trailer. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are ways around the issue, but they're not good. An additional battery for the reefer unit is always a possibility, but that adds a lot of weight, thus lowering the already diminished load weight, resulting in the need for even more trucks, overloading the power infrastructure, and the need for even more charging stations when there are already nowhere near enough as it is. All of this leads to a couple of key factors: supply chain slowdowns and rising costs for consumers. Trucking companies are not simply going to eat the cost of increases associated with this mandate, and a very good number of independent truckers will simply have to quit their jobs. Fewer trucks and higher costs are going to force prices up for consumers, and with fewer truckers making long hauls, goods will be slower in reaching their destinations. Now, we've already seen it happen during the COVID shutdowns, but that scenario, while temporary then, will only become the new norm now. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said, and I quote, "Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s and I'm talking to people who think that we can just have landline phones forever," unquote. He then went on to say, quote, "It's crucial that America stays ahead of China in the manufacturing game," unquote. Now, that's a 100% false argument. As to mandate electric vehicles to appease the religion of climate change, we will become completely reliant on China for the batteries that run the electric cars and trucks. Buttigieg then went on to say, quote, "We've got to make sure that those are made on American soil in places like northern Indiana, where I grew up, places like Michigan, where I live right now. We've been working to make sure that the advantage comes back onto American soil," unquote. Diane, only a fool would believe that being 100% reliant on China gives America the advantage.
It absolutely does give America the advantage. But, you know, the whole thing about this electric car and electric truck nonsense is the concept of an electric vehicle is not terrible. The problem is we do not have the technology yet to make it affordable for the general public, reliable, or easily refueled, you know, I'm using the word fuel, but recharged. The technology to make this a success is probably decades away.
I would have to agree.
That's the most, to me, an abomination about this whole thing. The electric stuff should have stayed on the drawing board for a couple of decades more before they were really ready to go with this. They're not ready yet.
I mean,
just look at the cost of replacing one of the batteries if it goes out.
Right. I mean, at this point, at best, it's a novelty.
Right.
You know, it's a cool novelty, but it's a novelty. Look, there is no way to build the number of charging stations necessary for both or either cars and long-haul trucks due to the aforementioned power grid limitations. And if we were to try and build them, we would also have to add more and more fossil fuel burning power stations to the grid. Given that reality and the reality that the power to existing charging stations actually comes from primarily fossil fuel power generators, how is any of this green, and how does this get us to carbon zero? It isn't, and it doesn't. It's nothing but pandering to the religion of climate change in return for the nincompoop vote. Someday, we will have a workable and sustainable alternative to fossil fuels, but that day is not today, and we won't find it on any calendar by 2032. In the meantime, if we want to outpace China, we need to rely on the resources we have rather than on the resources we can only get from China, so that our economy grows faster than their economy, while at the same time we are not subsidizing their economy. Until right. that day comes, I have only one thing left to say. Truck Joe Biden.
Now, I love that line.
In the commentary, I've actually got a photo of an EV charging station. And this one's for cars. It's not for semis. Okay. But it's connected to a diesel generator.
Okay.
Okay. So the power for your EV car, in that case, is coming directly from a generator run by diesel fossil fuel. If that's not the epitome of virtue signaling, I don't know what is.
It just gets better and better. I mean, this technology, it's not there.
It's just not.
I have people living on my own block here in my small town. And they, you know, went out and bought these electric cars. Most of them who did buy them bought Teslas. They're all back in their gas-powered cars now.
I'm not surprised. You know?
It's a joke.
It's a novelty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was a kid growing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, a guy that lived around the corner from us and about halfway down the block, and this would have been in the 1970s, he had an electric car. Okay. And I don't even know who made it. Okay. But it was triangular shaped. And when I say triangular shaped, I mean it was a triangle. It didn't resemble a triangle, it was a triangle.
Okay.
And it was kind of this yellowish orange color. It looked like a wedge of cheese on wheels.
Oh my God.
And you literally plugged it in. It was like having a golf cart with a body on it that you could climb into.
Oh, okay.
And he would drive it to work and back every day and then plug it in overnight, you know, and it would recharge just like a golf cart recharges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was a novelty. All right. The Teslas and all these other electric cars today are cool novelties, but don't try driving one across the country because you're going to get stranded and it's going to take you forever because you got to stop and recharge the damn thing all the time. Don't buy one and think you can drive it in cold winter weather and have that charge hold up like they say it will. And don't drive it in the hot southwest part of this country because you won't be able to run the air conditioner if you want to make it to the next charging station.
That's true.
And now you've got this mandate for trucks, for over-the-road truckers?
Yeah, that's just wrong. You're killing their livelihoods.
If my cousin Dave, who was a trucker all of his life, were alive today, he would be given Joe the finger. I mean, you know, people rely on getting goods from point A to point B, and the only way you can do that in most cases, is on a truck. And I don't want to hear about, well, you can always put them on a train. When was the last time you saw the train pulled up to a grocery store?
And not only that, pretty soon, you know, Biden's going to demand that all trains become electric.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea. Yeah. You know, the third rail is the most dangerous piece of infrastructure known to man. And you're going to have people getting fried up and down the tracks all over the country.
They don't care.
You know? I mean, this is just nuts. All right?
It is.
You know, I understand what a cool idea it is. And someday, we'll find something that works. But right now, as I mentioned in the commentary, Truck Joe Biden, which you can get on my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or at rspradio1.com, and I hope you share it. But just like I mentioned in the commentary, the only place to get batteries for this these things, whether they're trucks or cars, is from China.
Mm-hmm.
So we would actually be subsidizing their government. We would be subsidizing the Chinese communist government and the Chinese communist economy. And according to Pete Buttigieg, that gives us the advantage. Bull crap.
And what people forget, the batteries need lithium. Guess where the lithium comes from?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Doesn't matter, though, to this administration.
Nope. Nope. And this is one of these just dumbass ideas, you know, and put it on the fast track. You want zero carbon emission semis by 2032? Are
it's
you
not
kidding
happen.
Me? I mean, this is never going to happen. And I guarantee you this mandate will eventually get reversed because there is no way for our infrastructure to handle it. All these greeny weenies. Oh, yes, we must all have electric cars and electric trucks. Yeah, well, where's the electricity coming from?
Yeah. The only way to get this nonsense reversed is to have a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Republican House.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. There's no other way to reverse this nonsense.
But this is the kind of crap that is going to continue to come out. You know, and it's just bowing down to the religion of climate change.
I know.
I mean, this is just insanity. Nobody's going to be able to afford this. I can't think of one independent trucker that's going to be able to afford and go out and buy a $500,000 semi.
I can't think of it either. I don't know of any truckers that could afford that. I'm sure there are a few. And because I'm sure there are liberal truckers that think this is just wonderful.
You know, I guarantee you there's a lot of liberal truckers out there, part of the, you know, truckers union, right?
Right.
But they understand that this is going to put a lot of them out of business. A lot of these trucking companies are not going to be able to afford, you know, the big ones, you know, like you see on the roads all the time, Swift, which can't.
The sleeper ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Swift Trucking and some of those, you know, and Swift has its own problems. Their drivers don't know how to park, but, you know, when they have thousands and thousands and thousands of trucks out on the road, they're not going to be able to afford to shift over to these all-electric trucks. And if they do, they're going to pass the cost of it down to the consumer.
Of course.
The cost of shipping.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah, the cost of shipping goods. And let's take your groceries as an example. The cost of getting your groceries from point A to point B is going to go skyrocketing. Okay. Because they have to use these electric trucks. Well, they're going to pass that on to the grocer. They're going to pass that on to the grocer, who's then going to pass it on to the consumer.
As if we don't have enough sticker shock when we go into the grocery stores now, as it is.
Absolutely. Folks, you can get
worse.
You can get Diane's op-ed this week. Decency, respect, and common sense lost at her blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. You can get Truck Joe Biden at my blog, thenationalpatriot.com. Or you can save yourself a couple of trips. Go to rspradio1.com, where you'll find links to both of these.
Mm-hmm. I love your title.
It made me laugh, I guarantee you. It made me laugh. Grab the links, folks, and share them everywhere. And I know we're a couple minutes early, Diane, but what do you say we wrap it up for tonight?
Okay, fine with me. We'll see you guys on Friday, and nighty night.
Have yourselves a great rest of the week, folks. We'll catch up with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.